I'm Scott, head chef. You're listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Welcome to episode 34 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by our friends at Crown Ash Developments. As ever, I'm joined by Matt.
Evening.
And Cookie, where's Cookie? He's on a run, isn't he?
He's on a run, yeah.
He's on a run. He's a marathon. He's doing a marathon, isn't he?
Indeed, absolutely.
He's not vegetarian anymore.
He's not, no.
Anyway, sorry. In other news, we've got a busy episode. So here's what we've got coming up on this week's show.
Neil shares his thoughts after the match with Aldershot.
Find that bit of energy and a desire to go and win the game, and I think in the end we should have.
Our head chef remembers his first name.
Scott. I'm Scott.
The players got involved in a Guinness World Record attempt to...
making the longest line of pom-poms.
Match drink problems worsen.
Glass half full or half empty.
Marc-Anthony Okoye renews his season ticket.
I've renewed for next season, so should you.
And Jerry tells us what the first thing he got the players to do when he took over the club back in 2001.
They put in central heating and told the home dressing room for us.
Brilliant. First up, Matt, we've obviously got the home game with Aldershot Town. Another fantastic crowd, just over 1,500 in Hayes Lane to watch this one.
Yeah, it was really, really good crowd. All things considered as well, Aldershot obviously in a precarious position at the moment, down the bottom of the table. Not been a good season for them at all. They brought just under 200, so to have, yeah, over 1,300 of our own fans was really, really fantastic for a game that, for us, really doesn't mean a lot other than pride. Obviously not too much to play for now in the league, but it's great to see the support continuing and that fan base growing, and we look forward to extending that into next season now.
Yeah, I think obviously Neil referred to it. Obviously, Gary Willock's side not going to give up, clearly. I mean, I don't know what it means now. Mathematically, it's still possible, but realistically, I think even Gary might have Gary might have even admitted in his interview afterwards,
I think he did,
knows where they are. But like you say, it was always going to be a bit of an anti-climax from the late Norwich game on the Tuesday. There was so much put into that. I think Neil refers to it slightly in his interview. That so much was put in. I think we played Salford and then obviously Orient.
Yeah.
It's just a bit of a sense it was going to be anti-climax.
Yeah, I agree, Jeff. I mean, you look at the game, we could easily have won it. We didn't get out of second gear, to be honest with you. And it was clear to see that a few of the players were a little bit tired, and there's nothing to be ashamed of for that, because we've been playing a lot of games recently. March was a ridiculously busy month for the players. And of course, naturally, they're human beings. They're going to be feeling it a little bit, as well as two games against the top two sides in the league prior to that as well. But if we would have scored in the final minute, JJ Hooper had a chance to get a hat-trick, actually.
I mean, the goals that scored, the goals that given away, it was all very ad hoc. It was all...
It was.
I mean, the opening goal, the goalkeeper gifted it.
Two mistakes from Aldershot led to two goals for us and two goals for JJ Hooper. But what I was actually going to say was he had a chance to score a bit of a worldie in the last minute, actually. That would have relegated Aldershot, because Dover got a point against
Blimey.
Chesterfield. So that would have actually relegated Aldershot there and then. As it stands, they're not relegated yet. I fully expect that, unfortunately, for them to happen this week.
As you say, Matt, obviously, realistically, we're disappointed not to have picked up all 3 points there. And obviously, I think Neil reflects that in his post-match interview with you at the end of the game.
Neil, a 2-2 draw at home to Aldershot. Glass half full or half empty?
Yeah, I was disappointed. I suppose after the euphoria of Tuesday, and to be fair, you know, I've just said to the boys, I don't like making excuses, but maybe the last two games, the Saturday and the Tuesday against the two top teams in our division, might have mentally taken a little bit out of them. But you get off to a cracking start like we do. We just took the foot off the gas and thought, that's it, we've won. And you know, a Gary Waddock team isn't going to give up. Didn't expect him to, and they kept on going. It took us to go 2-1 down to actually find that bit of energy and a desire to go and win the game, and I think in the end we should have. But I've got to give full credit to Aldershot. They put an absolute shift in and showed that they didn't want to go down without a fight.
But from your front men, particularly JJ, two mistakes pounced on and two goals scored.
Yeah, he's ready for that JJ, he lives and breathes on goals. You know, that's all he wants to do is score. And he was gifted a couple today, and then he had the last one at the end. You think, can you finish it? And just, you know, we'll take the win. But unfortunately, he missed the target. But yeah, I thought we were off it today, and you can't be off it to anybody in this division.
And obviously, Rico Hackett-Fairchild coming off just before half time. Is there any update on him at all?
No, at the moment, he's gone to the hospital, check him over. It might be a bit of concussion. I think he's broke his nose, but, you know, we'll find out a little bit more come this evening. But, it was a nasty injury, and hopefully he's all right.
And obviously you were saying there's been a lot of games recently, particularly against top sides. A little break this Tuesday and then away to FC Halifax next week.
Yeah, I've just said to the boys, you know, they can have a day off Monday, come in Tuesday, but because we've got a run in then. Then you play Saturday, Tuesday, Friday, you know, Monday, and then Saturday again. So it's a big run in. I think I'm going to need every one of the players in the squad so they can have a long weekend coming in Tuesday, getting ready for that game against Halifax away.
Neil, thank you.
Matt, obviously, as Neil refers to, disappointing result, but I tell you what, I was buzzing when he said everyone had the day off on Monday.
You and me both, yeah.
I didn't realise it didn't apply to us. as he explains there, obviously a hell of a lot of games in a short space of time. And like you say, the break, training, everything sort of starts to come into play then.
It does, yeah, absolutely. It's I think it's a much needed day off. But in fairness to the players, a few of them.
I say majority of them were in, to be honest.
Yeah, they were actually. Yeah, getting rubs from Sean or going to the gym. So a day off training as such, but not a day off work, as a lot of them were around. And fantastic for George Porter to come up and meet our soccer camp kids, which we're going to touch on later on.
Yeah, that was brilliant, to be fair. Like you said, majority of the players were in. They're in the gym, whether it's stretching, warm down, etc. One thing they didn't get served also was food.
Yes, no food.
Scott, our head chef, did take that quite practically when Neil said that everyone's got a day off, and he did take the day off.
He did indeed, that's right, yeah.
But Matt, bit of a strange one here. We always look for interviews outside of the norm, whether it's players, managers, etc., try and go outside anyone else at the club. Scott, he's our chef at the football club. He's been here over a
long
time. He's been ahead of a long time. He's a funny character. He's a great lad. He's a very good individual. One of the many great individuals we've got working here at the football club. And you managed to catch up with him on rather interesting matters, but I think you managed to try and delve a bit into a bit of the our players and the characters and the people involved. And to be fair, I think it comes across pretty well.
Scott, you're the head chef here at Bromley Football Club, and part of your responsibility is cooking the food for the players. What do they have today?
They have smoked salmon, roasted new potatoes, and a bit of kale and an avocado salad.
And they loved it, didn't they? I must say, it was really good. I had some as well.
Yeah, they all loved it. And Jack Holland had a sausage vegetarian casserole.
So here at Bromley Football Club, obviously the players have breakfast, they have lunch together. It's a really important part of that team bonding, isn't it? And you can see them actually, how much they enjoy the company of each other.
Yeah, they're a good bunch of lads. They're quite funny, some of them. Mickey's the practical joker, as normal, but Jack gets involved. They're quite a good bunch of lads.
So I'm going to ask you a few fun questions now, as Mark Hammond's just had his interview interrupted last week, and now he's come up to us. Who is, and the pressure's on because Ammo's here now, who is the fussiest eater?
Ammo.
That's not what you told me a minute ago. Are you going to stick with that one?
Ammo and Jack Holland.
Jack Holland. Ooh, interesting. I wonder how we look at that. Who's got the strangest eating habits?
Roger Johnson.
Why is that?
He's fussy.
Okay, let's think of another one. Who is the last out, or the first in, last out to eat their food?
I'll go with Ammo, and I'll go
Ammo again.
That's brilliant.
And probably Omar.
Who always comes up for seconds?
Aidan
Enver.
Oh yeah.
Who's a big dessert fan? Who's always up at the dessert bit?
Sam Wood.
Not prompted at all, that one. Well, Scott, it's been brilliant catching up with you. What have the players got to look forward to tomorrow?
I don't know, my day's off.
It's your day off, is it? Oh, well, it's an unexpected surprise. We'll see what they got tomorrow. But, Scott, thanks for joining us.
Brilliant to hear from Scott there. I remember well over a decade ago, he was here. He was in the old burger van, I think, with Katie Beverly back in the Ryman Division 1 South Day. So,
flipping burgers.
Absolutely. Great to hear from Scott there. Obviously, I think we touched on it a couple of episodes again. We've got our 5-star on the old food hygiene.
We have.
Which is actually brilliant. The great recognition for the food and beverage staff here and all the wonderful
Not an easy thing to achieve that.
The podcast does get better from here. No doubt the reason everyone's tuning in is we've got an exclusive with Mark Antony. Obviously, great news, he renewed his season ticket. But more importantly, Matt, he renewed his contract.
He did indeed. He did both. And what a man Mark Antony is. Just absolute pleasure to deal with on and off the pitch. Not for opposition attackers, though. He's been so solid this season, coming back after many years away. Obviously, he came through our youth section.
He's been here since he was six, seven?
He was six, and then, obviously went away to play senior football. And this is his first time back in full-time football. You would not know it. He has been one of our star performers this season. He is absolutely fantastic.
Man mountain.
Absolutely, yeah. Can't describe him any other way. It was an absolute pleasure for him to sign a new deal here at the club for everybody involved, including himself. And I managed to catch up with him on that matter, and here's what he had to say.
Mark Antony, today is a fantastic day for yourself and for the club and for the supporters. You signed a new deal taking you through to next season. You must be delighted.
Yeah, I'm delighted to get it done. It's been a while now. There's been some talks going, but it's all sorted now and can't wait to get going again.
You got a message for the fans. Obviously, they've been behind you all season. You've become a fan's favourite since returning to the club as well.
I'm just humbled by it all. I'm genuinely so grateful for the love that's been shown from when I signed this time last year or in the summer last year, and I just hope that they can mirror the same love not only just to myself but to the new signers coming in as well and the rest of the team next season.
And you're an ambitious player, and presumably that's reflected in the club's ambitions as well.
Definitely, I think I like to think I'm still young. I may not feel it that sometimes, but I think having ambition is always good because it causes you to push yourself as well. And I think the club are ambitious, and bringing the two together is a good partnership moving forward.
And we've just announced our new season tickets. We've got some fantastic discounts on at the moment. What would you say to a supporter who's maybe unsure?
It's nothing to be unsure about. It's a great atmosphere, family club. We play some attractive football as well, and you wouldn't be disappointed by coming and committing to a season ticket next season.
And obviously we're near the end of this season, not quite done yet, but presumably you're buzzing, looking forward to next season after a bit of a break, of course.
No, definitely. It'll be nice to go into the summer break with some silverware from the cup final we got on Tuesday, so hopefully everyone can get down and give us some of their energy to get the win. Definitely next season, that's what it's all about. Getting fit with the boys, meeting new players, and then just going again and trying to get a run going early doors and see if we can achieve great things next season.
Well, Mark, thank you and congratulations once again.
Thank you, Matt.
Great to hear from Mark there. Absolutely delighted that he's bought into the vision and the ambition of the manager and the owners here at the football club. I've got to be honest, Matt, he's probably a player that many thought we'd probably lose in the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a player that's come in, and for his first season in actual full-time football, it's been seamless for him. He has been a star performer from the word go, and he's cemented his side in Neil Smith's team.
And you forget, obviously, he's been with us from under six, under sevens.
Yeah, that's right. And then obviously he moved away to get senior football. I actually remember that the first game that I ever announced at, ever, when I was about 16, he played for Dulwich against us. So he obviously moved on to other clubs, and Dulwich being one of them. Merstrom, another one. Braintree, obviously, who we signed him from. And now he's back with us. It's like a fairy tale, isn't it?
It's brilliant. You've got Jack Holland in there as well.
It's fantastic. It's amazing how it all comes back round, isn't it? But he has been phenomenal this season. And obviously he's had a slight injury issue recently, which now seems to be fine. He's back in the team, etc., regaining fitness.
It's incredible. Like you said, last season at Braintree, etc., promotion, etc., I'd still call him an established National League centre back. I mean,
oh, he's been fantastic. And the comments from opposition fans after we played them as well, particularly Hartlepool, I think one of them was guy at the back, an absolute man mountain. And the goal he scored there as well. What a finish.
Oh, absolutely.
He's adding...
Brilliant, I forgot about that.
Attacking threat as well. When he's in the box on an attacking set piece, that is a lot to handle with his height, his physicality, and actually his mindset as well, just how clever he is in the box. It's really, really pleasure to watch it.
It's quite interesting.
I look forward to it again.
Obviously, you touched on the whole full-time thing there and being full-time. And it's quite interesting, really. I spoke to a fan in a week, and we were speaking about the football club, and, we're people will describe us as an established National League club.
And now they will,
And for that, they consider us, we're a full-time football club, and it's amazing that Bromley have become this full-time football club. And I think, just try and give a bit of a background to that, it was quite interesting. Is I mean, I don't know if you saw a tweet, the other Twitter earlier in the week, they were announcing someone had put out the agents' fees for our league. I mean, what's interesting, two things. A, we're not listed on it. You know, you try and do the right thing, Rolly. However, you must understand that, I would say probably 25, 40, 40% of the talent of non-league, or sorry, the National League, or your established strikers, your established enemies, they've all got agents. I don't know how you would describe it. It's quite a... we all love to say, oh, we don't want agents and it's all wrong and football's wrong, etc. But you're also having to live in that environment full time, like we are now, you know. But again, we weren't listed on that. But you look at the clubs that were Salford, Leighton Orient, and everything, like
Chesterfield.
There were figures of over sort of 70, 75 grand.
Absolutely, massive.
Consider what you're up against. It's quite something. And we got talking about full time and part time and everything like that. And I think it's probably worth sharing with supporters that there isn't a natural line where you cross over from part-time non-league football club to full-time professional football club. It doesn't exist. You don't start a season and fill in a form to the National League and tick a box to say part-time or full-time. Literally, you find yourself in the National League, and we've been here, what, 4 years now?
Yeah.
You know, and thankfully, going into our fifth season, absolutely incredible. And I suppose many people would call us an established full-time National League football club.
It's incredible, isn't it?
You know, however, we got promoted. We end up in this league. We got promoted. We had a failed takeover. That happened. We won the championship. Absolutely brilliant. Got promoted. We're in the National League. And we stay part-time. And I got talking to a supporter. And what's quite interesting this year is the clubs that chose to stay part-time, that's how far this league has moved on just in the 3-4 years that we've been in here. The clubs that have all stayed part-time when they got promoted have ended up going back down.
Yeah.
Braintree, part-time, relegated. Yep. Haven't, part-time, relegated.
And let's not forget Dover only went full-time when Andy Hessenthaler was appointed sort of halfway through this season. They look like they're just about to stay up.
And they weren't at the start of the season.
They were not, absolutely. You know, so it's really interesting
to
see that.
You know, it's incredible to say you cannot stand still in this league. If you stand still, you will go backwards. And I think clearly the board backed Neil in the summer, and obviously with the budget was upped, etc. And yes, this season hasn't been everything we wanted it to be, but I think we're in a great position moving forward for next year.
Absolutely.
The players that have committed and are still with us, and you talk about a core of a squad that are going to be with us next year, is absolutely brilliant. But it is amazing, this league. It really does sometimes, and I know there's other sort of club personnel at other clubs who probably feel the same. It is a bit of a sort of grey area, this sort of no man land. League 2 and upwards, you're full time. Conference South and below, you're part time. This league is very much, you don't come into it and you tick a box to say that, okay, we're a full time National League side. It just doesn't happen like that. Well, you decide. I mean, we got promoted the first year, we stayed part time. I remember second year, I think we then started converting to mornings. We did 2 or 3 mornings a week.
Yeah.
Probably the third season. So last year, I think it was probably the first full year we actually committed to being what people consider full time, in the sense that we trained 4 mornings a week, the players had lunch, breakfast, etc. You know, and we enjoyed a fantastic year last year. Everything that could have gone our way went our way. You know, up until I can't remember the minute, but
93rd.
But you know, genuinely, and. It's quite interesting. I think the National League does have some challenges on that front, because the financial support definitely isn't there from the league as a whole. There's a massive gulf, probably 10, 11 times the figure we get from the National League to be a full-time club compared to what you'd get in League 2. And it's interesting to see how different clubs try and rise to that challenge. And, you know, I genuinely think it can't be underestimated, the fact we're going into our fifth season in the National League.
It's a huge achievement. When I first started coming to watch Bromley, would never have seen us in this position based on where we were at the time. And it's real, it's no mean feat to be in the position we're in now. And obviously, naturally, we're disappointed with where we are this season. But then you look at clubs that have been relegated.
Aldershot were in the playoffs last season.
Aldershot, Maidstone.
It's unbelievable. Wasn't the manager turning around to the chairman and doing all the old hand signals, wasn't he? Was it live on telly, wasn't it? Was it
a
semi-final?
Very different figure when they played us last week.
I tell you what, you have to look. And let's get it right. We were in a similar position to Aldershot midway through this season. With all due respect, you know, we found ourselves not where we wanted to be. And again, the board supported and players are brought in, etc. And we are where we are now, you know, and you had to look at all the shots, and it's a similar example to us. We had the highs of the FA Trophy and then the hangover afterwards, you know, and come Christmas, we found ourselves where we were. All the shots are the same. All the shots are where they are, and we are where we are, you know.
It's
there's a massive credit to Neil on the board there and how they turned that around during that midpoint of the season. Yes, again, we didn't quite achieve the heights we wanted to, but I can't wait for next season, I must admit. And it, like you said, we've got a great cup final to come against Maidstone. I'd absolutely love to win that. When we did it 05, 06, 06, 07, absolutely brilliant. And it's going to definitely be a really good night on Tuesday. Yes, we've got three league games to go. And you want to finish high as you can. There is still a tinge in the back of my head which goes, you know what? Roll on pre-season. I can't wait for the new year.
Oh, I can't wait. I know, obviously, we all need a break, don't we? Players included, staff off the field and on the field.
Oh, same.
We all need a break.
Talking about that, Matt, obviously, I know you've been super busy. so every so often, there are some supporters who may claim that we have a life of luxury. We've got a great job. We work at a football club we support, that we've loved. It's brilliant. You know, all that. If you find something you love, you don't have to work a minute a day, everything like that. However, Matt, you've been incredibly busy this week. You've been up the Glades making pom-poms.
So, how did the Chartwell Cancer Trust get involved with the Guinness World Record Challenge for making the longest line of pom-poms? Well, Valley Primary School in Shortlands chose the Chartwell Cancer Trust as their chosen charity for this school year, which is really, really exciting for us and for the children. But what they also decided to do is actually take on this Guinness World Record Challenge, and it's no mean feat because they have to make 30,000 pom-poms by the end of June. And then in July at their school summer fair, they will be counted and the decision will be made if they've actually reached the target and broken the record, which obviously we hope they do, and we're working very hard to help them. So Bromley FC, who are huge supporters of the Chartwell Cancer Trust, heard all about this and heard that we were doing masterclasses in the Glades during the Easter holidays and decided to come along and support us. They didn't just come along, the whole of the first team and the management came along and were there busy making pom-poms and encouraging people that were shopping and other people to come along and help. So we're very, very grateful to everyone that's helping. We're looking for more pom-poms, we're looking for donations of wool, so anybody that would like to join in, feel free. Thank you.
Matt, I always joke, but obviously quite an interesting week.
It has been fantastically different, as it always is. No 2 weeks or no 2 days are the same here, really. And this week, it was making pom-poms, and some of the looks as the people went past in the Glades were quite something to see, really. Neil, obviously, is very, very passionate about the Chartwell Cancer Trust, and I think us as a club are generally very passionate
about... Absolute pleasure to be involved in this.
Oh, it is, absolutely. And we really, really do our best to support them wherever we can. For example, recently we had a few of the children as mascots at Leyton Orient. Some of them were Bromley fans and two of them were actually Leyton Orient fans, so we gave them their wish of walking out with both teams, which
brilliant.
Was phenomenal. And yeah, it was a real pleasure to go out there this week and do something very different. And I know Neil was very touched by the fact the whole squad turned up when actually he didn't make it compulsory.
He didn't ask the whole squad, did he? He asked like half a dozen of them and then all of them turned up.
Because that's they know brilliant. How passionate he is about it. And I actually drove up with him to this event and he just explained how passionate about it he is. And it really comes across. And here's what he had to say about it.
Neil, we'll start on non-footballing matters. I think it was Tuesday, wasn't it? We went down to the Glades. The whole entire squad came to support you for a cause which you're really passionate about.
Yeah, we were in the Glades making pom-poms, believe it or not, for hopefully an attempted world record of 30,000. And to be fair, I spoke to a couple of players and said I'd like them to come down. It is a charity that I fully support in every way, shape or form I can. Chartwell Cancer Trust, you know, with young kids and family members that might be going through bad times and need that bit of help. But every player turned up. There wasn't a doubt that anyone couldn't make it. They were all there. They were all joining in trying to make this world record attempt work, but also just to make sure that Bromley Football Club are doing good things in the community. And I think it's great that we can get out there and help out in any way, shape or form we can. And nothing's too small and nothing's too great for us to be there and support, you know, we support everything we can in the borough, local schools, but it just happened to be Chartwell Cancer Trust on this occasion.
And those who've seen the pictures will see the immense concentration and enjoyment on a lot of the faces. It was fantastic, team bonding wise as well, wasn't it? Something really different.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, they get to see how lucky they are in their lives, and how appreciated they should be that, you know, that there's problems out there that other families are going through, and it's not happening to them. But, you know, they fully embraced it, some more than others, obviously. But, you know, fair play to Zavon Hines. He was helping everybody. There was a couple that couldn't quite get to grips with just rolling around a bit of cotton wool, round a little plastic thing to make this ball. They couldn't comprehend how that was made. So there was a few that in there were struggling, but everybody to a man, you know, gave their full support. And I think we made probably a couple of hundred at the end of it.
Definitely. And good to see some quite intent glances. And that's Bromley Football Club as people walking past. It's a very busy day, obviously, being half term as well.
Yeah, that's right. There was some Bromley supporters that were walking past, and it's good to see them out in the community as well. And obviously new people that were asking questions about the football club. And, you know, we're a club that are trying to generate new supporters and get that local support coming in. And I think the more we're out and being seen in and about the town, I think the better. So yeah, it was a great day and a worthy cause as well.
And back to footballing matters now. Obviously a lovely day here today on Thursday for training ahead of a trip to Halifax on Saturday, a side that have hit good form recently.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a tough game. You know, we've obviously had them watched, and they're a physical side, very direct, but most teams are in our division. We'll be up for it. You know, we want to do the best we can in the last few games of the season. And this is the next one. You know, we were so close on Saturday after a bit of a poor start, even though we went 1-0 up. But, you know, we finished on a high, and we want to carry that winning streak or unbeaten streak right through to the end of the season.
And this podcast will obviously go out on Friday. So just touching on the Kent Cup final Tuesday as well, really exciting occasion. Good to see everyone getting in the mood for it. There's been some old footage dug out of our win back all those years ago. And Sam Wood particularly showing everyone his assist at lunch today.
Yeah, no, he loves it, Sam. You know, he's part of the history of this club. You know, as you walk in through the main doors, he's to your right in there celebrating, obviously, the promotion from Ryman Prem into the Conference South. So he's also a Kent Cup winner. So let's make him a double one and put some new faces on these pitches that are around this club.
Great to hear from Neil there. Obviously, you can hear in his voice the passion he's got for the club. That's a given, but for Chartwell Cancer Trust and what we do with them.
It's incredible. He is really, really passionate about it. Obviously, he's run the marathon for them last time. And it's something that every time an opportunity arises to support them, he is, I wouldn't say happy to do it. He goes above and beyond to support them.
I think
he
just feels it a bit of a duty, just as the club does as well, to support, which is absolutely brilliant.
And it's a pleasure, isn't it, to work with them. An absolute pleasure.
It's great, it's great. I mean, I'm delighted you enjoyed making the pom-poms. Obviously, back to football. It's great to see Neil talks about the legacy of the football club and Sam Woods and the County Cups, etc. And obviously, we've got Halifax coming up on Saturday. Followed by the County Cup. We're going to quickly touch on Halifax, obviously. Big shout out to Jamie Thomas and everyone involved for another sellout supporters coach.
It is, yeah. It sold out last week, I believe. So
brilliant.
We have posters, obviously, around the club. They've now come down because it is sold out, and it's a fantastic achievement.
Yeah, let's get it right. No involvement from us whatsoever.
No. Jamie, Jim Brown, David Gregory.
Absolutely brilliant. Atto Tours, I think, assist them as well in some form. But, absolutely fantastic effort from them again.
It is brilliant, and fair play to them. And obviously the last time we had a supporters coach was at Salford, and we had a fantastic away following at that game. So let's hope for more of the same tomorrow, Jeff.
Just not a result, yeah.
Yeah, let's hope for a slightly different result, absolutely. Speaking of which, we obviously face FC Halifax Town. The last time we faced them was back in, I think it was September, October time. It was early in the season.
They've got a rugby game tonight. Don't they share with a rugby
club? They do share with the rugby club, yes.
I hope it's not raining.
We were 2-1 up with a very patched up squad. And when I say patched up, I mean that David Gregory was not even fit. So Max Huckster stepped in and did a really good job. And unfortunately, in the 93rd minute, we conceded an equaliser. It looked like we were going to win the game with a squad that was literally bare bones.
I think we had that the year before as well.
We did, yeah. I mean, we had players dropping out in the warm-up. Two players dropped out.
What year was it? Was it Ben Chorley's first game or something?
I think it was,
yeah. Come off with 10 minutes to go. And we were 1-0 up or 2-1 up or something, and then we ended up losing it.
We were 2-0 up on 90 minutes, we drew 2-2.
So Chorley went off, conceded a penalty, and then didn't Alex Wall like half scuff a clearance or foul their player on the edge of the box, and they scored for a free kick?
They did, yeah.
And me and Cookie got slapped on the back of the head by Halifax fans. Yeah. Anyway, I don't hold grudges.
Yeah, let's hope for a slightly different story tomorrow. So Halifax currently 15th in the Vanarama National League table with 11 wins this season, 19 draws and 12 defeats on 52 points, which is 3 points below Bromley. They have hit some good form recently, however, and they were actually leading at Leighton Orient at Brisbane Road with literally seconds left. They were 2-1 up at half time against Leighton Orient and actually ended up drawing 2-2. Matt Harold with a 94th minute equaliser for Leighton Orient on that day. So they are a side that are in really good form. They've got two lone strikers, Manny Duku from Cheltenham and Devante Rodney from Salford, who are scoring goals for fun at the minute. So tomorrow will be a really interesting day. Nice place to
go. Absolutely amazing. I mean, don't be wrong, it's 20 quid to get in. It's a bit steep, isn't it?
Salford was 10.
By the way, I must admit how impressed I am when you come out of all this stuff. Because most people think you're probably sitting in front of a laptop reading that all off the screen. But actually, there's nothing in front of you and you're just coming up.
No, you're clearly
knowledgeable.
That's right, yeah, I do try my best.
You must have a lot of time on Sundays. You must read a non-league paper.
Yeah.
Obviously, after Saturday, we're going to... Oh, safe journey to everybody making that trip on Saturday.
On coach or
we're
off
up there.
Coach.
We're heading up on the train, aren't we? We're going to be commentating over at the on the official site, www.bromleyfc.co.uk. Obviously, after that, we've got our Kent Cup glory, Magic of the Cup, Matt.
Absolutely, Magic of the Cup. It's going to be fantastic. Really looking forward to it. Tuesday night, football under floodlights for the... I believe it's for the final time this season, football under floodlights.
Obviously, 130th year of the Kent Senior Cup as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, and a big incentive for us to win it, obviously, going back to those glory days as you come into the venue entrance with Sam Wood and Bobby Bowery and Nick McDonald celebrating that win.
And the other side of the venue as well, we've got the London Senior Cup back in 2003.
That's
and
right.
Talking about that, Matt, you managed to catch up with Jerry, our glorious chairman, to discuss that victory back in 2003, I think it was.
It was.
I think it was the first trophy that he won as chairman.
It was.
Okay, I'm just with Jerry Dahlke, the club chairman, and we were just discussing some, County Cup memories, and you've got one from back in 2003, Jerry.
Well, when we bought Bromley in 2001, we were obviously quite proud to get to the London Cup final, which was at Dagenham and Redbridge in 2003. And we had a good side. The team had finished really strong that season, and the finalists were Forge United, who were in the league above. So it was always a tall order, but the irony of that game was they came out with Sky Sports on their shirts, and Ford had the relationship with obviously Ford United purely on the back of Monday night Sky TV with Ford. Ironically, our sponsor at the time, we didn't get any money from them. It was a real contra deal, and it was Freeland's Plumbing, Heating and Tiles. And they'd put in central heating and tiled the home dressing room for us. So there was quite a conflict in terms of the clubs. But on the day, we won that game 1-0. We ended up having two players sent off. They had one player sent off. And we played, I think it was the last 12 minutes, with nine men. So that was the start of the journey. And I think what we wanted to do was where we had the visuals of the Wembley visit in 1949 in the front reception of the venue, as you go down the back entrance or exit from the venue, you've actually got those were the things we won from 2001, which was then 2005-06, retaining it the year after the Kent Cup. And obviously our journey had begun.
Some interesting stories there, and hoping...
Are they still the same tiles in the dressing room?
So, yeah, they're still the same tiles in the dressing room.
Oh, my God.
Still the same central heating.
They've done well.
And we still have got fond memories of Freeland's Plumbing, Heating and Tiles still supporting us to this day.
Brilliant.
Some fantastic memories there, and hoping to create more on Tuesday as we host the final again.
Yeah, really pleased we're hosting it. I think it's 10 or 11 years since we've won that trophy. And again, we hosted that final here. So, yeah, look, it'd be great for us, you know, finish our National League campaign strong and win the Kent Cup. Yeah, I think we'd all be very pleased with that.
Fingers crossed, Jerry. Thank you.
Many thanks.
Oh, I absolutely love it, honestly. He doesn't speak on a podcast, but I imagine that's because he's writing his own book, because, I mean, Dave Roberts, fantastic. What, three books from Dave on the football season?
Brilliant.
I'd love to hear Jerry's. I'd love Jerry to write one. I think absolutely one. Fantastic. Yeah. Like you say, doesn't often do public speaking, etc., but his passion for the club is completely unwavering. And how many, I can't remember how many years it's been. I'm going to do him a disservice now and get it wrong. But, you know, he's been absolutely brilliant. And it's great to hear from him. And the little stories like that, you can imagine how good a book would be if he actually writes it.
Oh, it'd be a bestseller, wouldn't it? You know, you just wouldn't get those stories anywhere else.
Absolutely brilliant. A big thank you. I think that's what we've got time for, Matt.
Yes, it is.
A big thank you to everybody who's downloaded this week's episode. Somehow we've managed to make it to episode 34. Matt, big thank you for joining me.
Pleasure.
Cookie, I hope you're enjoying your run wherever you are.
And his burger.
Oh no, he's not vegetarian. Yeah, of course. Yeah. We're going on that. We're going to be live from the Shea Stadium in Halifax tomorrow over on the official website www.bromleyfc.co.uk. We're going to be live from about 2:50 p.m. Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget Tuesday night, Bromley versus Maidstone United, Kent Senior Cup final. It's been 11 years 10 seasons, 11
bring
seasons
it on
since
it
we've last won it, beating Tunbridge, and a year before that obviously beating Graves in the North Fleet. It's going to be a fantastic night under lights. I really hope we can get it. Good crowd and great turnout, and it'd be fantastic to be able to go and win it again after all these years. Again, a big thank you to everybody who's listened this week. That's it, Matt.
That's it, yeah.
Fantastic outro as usual. A big thank you to Crown Ash Developments, who continue to sponsor us and support this podcast. A big thank you to everybody who listens, and we'll be back again next week. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.